Well, hello and welcome to another edition of The Name Game. This is Bob Zanotti, and I'm walking to the Matterhorn. not quite literally, but at least in that direction. I'll explain in just a few moments what I mean by that. We're in Canton Valley. We're in the French-speaking part of Canton Valley, but not far, not deep into the French-speaking part, because we are above the town of Sierre, also known in German as Cedars, and it is technically a bilingual town, predominantly French, but technically bilingual. You'll hear both languages spoken. But it's not Sierre, which is our destination today. It is a very small place, a very special place, south of Sierre in the mountains, and I'm being taken around on this walking tour of our mystery destination today by an old friend, Aubrey Diem, professor of history and geography. Aubrey is a Canadian but makes his home at least, I would say, a good 6 months of the year. Is that right in our mystery location?
Yes, usually 6 months of the year, 7 months of the year. Uh-huh. I'm here.
Okay, and what you hear, of course, what you heard at the very beginning was snow, because it is the season, and we have plenty of snow here. In fact, Aubrey, I have to share this small anecdote. When I called you the other day on the phone to arrange this, you said, "Oh, Bob, I'm glad that you're coming down, because I'm getting so bored skiing. The skiing is so good, I'm getting tired of it." It is a good season, right?
It's been a good season, and the slopes have been well kept with plenty of snow despite the holidays when there are a lot of people here. And every day was just sunny without clouds, and one can say it actually gets a little boring from time to time, so you appreciate a change.
Now, we are south. We're in the mountains south of the city, or the town. It's not really a big city. It's the town of Sierre, famous for its wines. A lot of wine is produced in that area. And now, let's take us up the valley. This valley has a name, Aubrey.
Yes, it's Val d'Anniviers. And the name comes from a family that controlled the valley during the Middle Ages. And in fact, if you come through Vissoire, which is the carrefour of the Val d'Anniviers,
crossroads,
then you see a rather ancient structure which has been done over, made up into a very nice building today, and that was a strong point of the Anniviers family during the Middle Ages.
Now, I came from Bern to Sierre, and then I took a postal bus, and it takes about 1 hour to actually get up here, and it's a thrilling ride. It's almost an adventure in itself, because I would say the valley, and we could pause for a moment to have a quiet look at it as we're getting outside of the village now. The long valley up here is very rugged. I mean, it's some beautiful terrain. In fact, the eye is kept busy because you don't know where to focus. It's everywhere you look, it's just beautiful.
Unlike many of the side valleys, which branch off from the Rhone, it was impossible for the inhabitants of Val d'Anniviers to bring their cows down to the Rhone Valley in the wintertime. There's a very deep gorge, and that gorge was a hindrance. So the people stayed in the upper part of the valley with their cows, and they moved with their cows.
Which is up here.
Yes, and they moved with their cows from even below here to this place during the summer months. Mm-hmm. And that went on for centuries. And then suddenly in the 60s, winter tourism began in earnest all over Switzerland, and there was development here for winter tourism.
And we are just about at the end of the valley here, and it's blocked off, as though somebody decided that's where to end the valley, that's where the glacier stopped. But if we go up, it looks like maybe 100 meters, 150 meters above the floor of the valley. Up there, another glacier continues, and that's an active glacier, isn't it?
It's active glacier, and like most of the Swiss glaciers, it's been melting back quite considerably in the last 10 years.
But no crisis at the moment?
No, there's still plenty of ice around, as you can see on the peaks.
We can easily see that. And then, to get back to the Matterhorn theme, if we continue walking over that glacier, and what's the name of that glacier?
Actually, the upper part is called Col du Ronde, and that's where you have to walk over. And if you walk over, as I have done one summer day, you don't see anything except this very steep
So just glacier. walking up to the top,
you have to
into the horizon.
You have to dig steps in it, or you have to have crampons on your boots. It's very dangerous.
And then you see?
The last few meters, just before you get to this, the upper part of
it. To the rise.
Yeah, you suddenly, right in front of you, is the Matterhorn. It's quite a stunning view.
Incredible. I've never done it, but you've described it to me so vividly, I can imagine. And looking at a relief map here, you can see exactly what you mean. How long is a trip like that? First of all, in distance, I mean, how far are we from the Matterhorn from here?
You would go a day walking to the Grand Montet. That's 2,800 meters. It's a good 5-6 hour walk. Mm-hmm. And then sleep overnight, and the next morning you would continue to go up on the glaciers which come down from the Col de Ronde. And that takes you a good morning's walk to get up there.
Well, so in other words, we'd maybe be what, 15 kilometers or something like that from the Matterhorn?
It's probably, that's even, if anything, a little bit long. It's not that far away, although you can't see it. It's hidden. As you come into
the entrance of the village,
beyond the entrance of the village, when you come up by bus, there's a little place where some hydroelectric installations are. And if you look carefully, you can just see, as you cross the bridge, a tiny sliver of the top of the Matterhorn.
I thought I saw that.
It's very small. It doesn't look like anything that you would see in the picture.
I'm glad you confirmed that it's true. And I must add that we're in now, this is the winter season, we're here, and we have a beautiful day with a deep blue sky and bright sunshine, although it's cold, and it will get a lot colder when the sun disappears.
One thing that's very interesting here, the valley has broadened out. This is where the glacier has deepened, this part of the valley. And we saw somebody coming down from the ski slopes, which go up to 2,800 meters. But directly,
that's a very steep run over there.
Yes, that's the run out, and not everybody
sort
takes
of the
that.
Expert run.
You can come down by cable car, of course. But what you have in front of us is a very fine and very beautiful cross-country trail that
you could go for hours on there.
And it's about a round trip on that's about 6.5-7 kilometers.
What do we know about the people who settled this area, looking at this historically?
Well, the area here was settled after the melting of the Rhone Glacier, when people, nomadic hunters, could come into the mountains and they could hunt reindeer, which were here in abundance. And actually, there are finds of Neolithic peoples in San Luke, one of the villages of the valley, which is south-facing, that date back a couple thousand years.
You have a feeling that time has stood still. Very little has changed.
It hasn't changed as fast as it has elsewhere. And that's a big plus in today's world, where you go to some ski areas in the middle of the season and it takes you, you're caught in a traffic jam. People come up, there's enough parking for everybody. They still don't have to pay for parking here. And of course, in many of the places in the Alps today, you have to pay. It's just like an extension of the city. So here, as you can see from the nature and everything else, it's pretty wild. And to our left, there is an area which was avalanched. The whole forest was ripped away.
It was February 1999. You were under snow here.
We were blocked here for a good week. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out, and it just snowed continuously for 7 days and seven nights.
Also, the people seemed to be very friendly, very spontaneous. I got on the buses and just passed people waiting for another bus, just walking around one of the villages along the way, greeted constantly with
Everybody
a smile.
Says,
very
bonjour,
friendly.
Bonjour, and you know, good day. So you feel like you're not just being
you're welcome.
As a tourist. Right, you're welcome.
What about the people today? Is it mainly the tourist industry they live on, or they're hardly farmers anymore?
No, not here. There are a few hobby cows, as they're called. Close to 100% of the whole economic viability of Val d'Anniviers is based on winter and summer tourism.
Well, the winter is quite clear. We have snowboarding here. We have excellent skiing for all types. I saw bungee jumping advertised as well.
Bungee jumping, there's a bridge over that gorge that I spoke about, and they go down. It's one of the,
good luck.
One of the longest bungee jumping places in Europe. Jumping
really?
Off, yeah, jumping off that towards the gorge. Uh-huh. And I'm happy to observe.
At a distance.
Oh, the other thing to mention, though, there are a lot of parachutists here. And
paragliding, too.
And deltas.
And there's a lot of room here. This is not a place which is congested. There's so much open space here.
Yeah.
And the chalets are built largely in the very traditional Valaisan style, using very dark wood. And it's very charming. And turning to activities again, of course, in the winter time, that's obvious, winter sports. But in the summer, and we have to recall that we are in a very deep valley here with very steep mountains on either side. These are the high Alps of Canton Valley. So mountain climbing, I guess, and hiking would be very important.
Hiking is wonderful because you can go up to 3,300 on paths, 3,300 meters, and spend a night in a cabin if you want, or come down the same day. And then you can climb 4,000 meter peaks. Some of them are relatively easy to climb, but at that altitude, anything can happen. You must be prepared, and it's always wise to go with a guide. But the peaks are there, and they're not like the Matterhorn, thousands in line waiting to go up. You can have a peak to yourself, one can almost say. And some of these peaks are 4,500. Weisshorn is just above us, and that's higher than the Matterhorn even, and a very difficult mountain to climb. It's not an easy one to climb.
This is one of these peculiarities. So you mentioned these German peak names, but even though we're in a French-speaking area, literally a stone's throw almost, it's German again.
Right.
And language is not a problem.
No,
German is spoken. English is understood.
Everybody, they understand everything. The locals, the young people.
Italian, too, I imagine.
Yes, and the young people, they're completely multilingual.
Something else very important. After the activity, and certainly even at midday, you like to take a break. And Canton Valley is rightfully well known for its culinary standard. The cuisine is very good here. And if you're looking for the traditional cuisine, this is the place. I mean, I think of raclette. I think of couteau fromage or Käseschnitte, which is melted cheese on toast, or some of the meat specialties or sausages here.
Like the dried meat, viande séchée, is local. For example, we're standing right where the raclette cheese is made. This slope here.
Right over there. There's a little cheese dairy.
There's a little place where they make the raclette cheese, and the raclette is very special here.
We're walking again. The visit has been all too short, but the sun is going down. Après-ski must be very popular, I guess, especially in the winter period, the fires,
weekends,
and the raclettes and so on.
The local hotels are quite crowded.
I'd like to come back here also in the warmer months and do some hiking. That would seem to be a great thing to do here. And we're coming right now to one of the numerous fountains in the village. And from what I've seen, this water is probably fit to drink, isn't it?
It is really fit to drink without any chemicals in it. And you notice the difference in your tea and your coffee just taking a glass from the tap. And it comes directly from the glaciers.
And we're walking down as we leave the village again. I have to get back to the postal bus. We're in the middle of these beautiful chalets with their traditional Valaisan dark wood, so nicely decorated at the moment with pine branches, and they have inscriptions on them, and beautiful.
This is protected area.
This is the old part of the village.
Yes.
Really beautiful. Okay, we have to go practically, but not before I give you a couple of clues. We are in a valley which is in the mountains south of the town of Sierre, S-I-E-R-R-E, in Canton Valley, in southwestern Switzerland. This is the last village in the Val de Nivier, and south of here, if we keep on going, is the Matterhorn. I'll give you another clue, an easy one. The name of the village has five letters, and that's all. That's it. Aubrey Diem, professor of geography and historian and writer, who is a semi-resident of this village in Canton Valley in the mountains south of Sierre. Thank you very much for being our guide today, and thank you for playing the name game.